iHeart Podcast.
Hello.
YOLO.
Aquino's Parenting. I'm Peter McKinney.
I'm Beth Newell.
We're back at it, friendos.
We're back.
You keep thinking we're not going to be.
We survived another week.
But why don't you believe in us? Believe it. We'll be back. We literally did.
Be back.
Okay, let's get straight to it. Illness.
Let's get right to it.
Okay, everyone.
Everyone's like, well, I think I said this on last week's podcast, which is that everywhere in public that we take our children, they put their mouths on everything and lick things. And so
I think you're giving licking things too much credit for this illness, but I have no way to back that up or prove it.
You think the licking of things in massively trafficked public places full of other children had nothing to do?
I think it's why they don't get sick more. But again, I have no way to back up that argument.
Well, I think that the oh my God.
Anyway, keep going. I just wanted to just throw an unnecessary wrench in that. Continue. They're licking gross things.
So Wednesday-ish, our son develops a rash around his mouth and nose. And mm-hmm. I was like, this looks like not normal. It's something that should be looked into. And I was like, I think maybe he has like impetigo or hand, foot, and mouth is coming back. And you're like, no, it's just because the humidifier is blowing in his face. It's fine. So then this rash.
So far, I just want to say, totally accurate.
So then this rash lingers on his face, which is not like a good looking rash. It's like,
no, it did look like it was getting better to me.
It did not to me.
It was like real juicy one day and I was like, oh. And then
it continued to be gross.
It dried up.
Okay.
But, you know.
I apologize for your listeners. It's gross. So we're like bringing our son to school, to public places, to birthday parties. And I'm like, this is not good.
To a new school visit.
We're like, look at our son.
Where he's literally being assessed.
He's literally being assessed. But in our defense, it was the same day we were supposed to go to our house to do some things in Brooklyn, or the place we're buying in Brooklyn. And it was like we had all of these things that have been dragging on to figure out how our life will actually be planned for the coming fall. It's like we need it. We're like, if we don't do this now, we're setting our whole lives back another 2 weeks. So we go, and luckily did not sabotage our visit.
Yeah. Well, let's come back to that. Continue the illness.
Anyway. So we're just bringing our rashy kid around town. And then starting Friday, Maven.
Flaunting him, really.
Just flaunting him. And then Maven, we are the worst at this kind of thing. Then Maven is Friday, in the midst of all this, starts to feel warm. And we get her home and she has like a low fever. And I was like, and this is, again, like classic Maven illness. This happens every time where she just seems like kind of sick. And we're like, oh, she kind of has a fever, but she's quiet and nice. Like, she's just so, like, not a difficult kid that you're just like, it's fine.
And the fever went away.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like nonstop, but I feel like part of every day she was like kind of fevery and like tired and like cranky. Yeah. And then, but you know, we're like, I don't know, there's all these colds and things. And I was like, maybe, part of my mind was like, maybe Bryn has like another hand, foot, and mouth thing, and like a reoccurrence, but it's milder this time. And maybe we didn't even notice he had the fever because it was so quick this time. And I was like, maybe she's just like going to blow through this. Because when our kids got hand, foot, and mouth the first time, it was just like a 1 day fever and then like a few dots, you know?
Yeah.
And once the rash comes, there's nothing you can do about it at that point, really. So anyway, this is all happening. Finally, Friday morning, I'm like, oh man, I should take a look at Bryn's face because you had been working all weekends and it was like pouring rain all day Saturday. So we just like holed up and I was like, let's just let these sick kids rest.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, I'm like, I gotta go check and see how this rash is doing, because I knew you were going to work in a couple hours, and then it was like the whole weekend is over. And I look at his face. The rash is worse and his eye is starting to look swollen. And I'm like, great. So you take him to urgent care.
His eye is not just swollen, but his lower eyelid is red and disgusting.
It was gross.
And swollen, and and the gap has a full like crust to it.
Anyone listening to this who's like a germaphobe is like thinking, they're like, bravo. This is the kind of parents I hate.
Well, if you remember the first 4 months of this podcast was just sickness reports.
Yeah. Do you remember when you printed something out of the printer this week, a recipe, and Bryn called it a restaurant note?
My kids think that the only thing that comes out of the printer
Our doctor's notes.
So whenever you print something, they go, doctor's notes? And I was like, guys. And so I printed a recipe, and Bryn picked, and it falls on the floor because the tray is never out. So Bryn picked it up and looked at it and recognized that it was like a recipe. And so he looked at me and went, oh, restaurant note? And he was wrong, but he could have been more wrong.
Yeah. He's like getting really good at reading. Like,
oh yeah,
now he could pick up anything, and I'm like, he'll sound out every word on the thing. Like, he's like,
I'm so proud of him, you know, because as been stated, I can still barely read, and so it's one of those, like, I feel like Forrest Gump, where I'm like, is he smart or is he like,
he gets it from me because I do know how to read.
Yeah.
Well,
you know how to make sense of the words, and I know how to deliver them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I think I don't know. This probably happens with you too, but my mom, I remember reading to us like every night, like out of chapter books.
Yeah,
and I can
too.
Remember this happening in our old house, which means it was when I was like 3 or 4. Like, I was like very little and like listening to the entirety of Little House on the Prairie out loud.
Yeah.
So, and I think you similarly, and sometimes me,
in the wardrobe, I
are
remember.
Reading a lot to our kids. I've been reading them the Magic Treehouse books this week. And they're pretty into it.
So tonight we read Dr. Seuss's ABCs. So Maven had been working on our letters, and Bryn his words, and it's a perfect book for it. And for the first time, I think Maven has known all her letters for a while, but is real coy about sharing her knowledge. But tonight, you know, so each page is like, big A, little A, what begins with A? And so I'd have Maven do all the letter parts. And she'd go, big A, little A, what begins with A? A, A, A. And then Bryn would read all the words. And I've tried to do that in the past with them sharing, and then Bryn is just so terrible. Because she hesitates for a second, and he's like, it's an H, Maven. I'm like, Bryn, let's help her, but give her a second. And he was patient, and he waited, and she did the entire thing correctly, as did his reading.
Nice. Completely unrelated story. Last night, I was, I forgot when I was putting them to bed to give them their medicine, because they're so difficult to put to bed. And I remembered like a half hour later or something, and they were asleep. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to like gently wake them up. This feels like a very like classic childhood memory, like your mom waking you up being like, I forgot to do this.
Don't wake up, but I'm putting this thing in your mouth.
It made me like really feel like we're really creating childhood memories with them for the first time. And it's like, I'm like, wow, they're actually going to remember this.
It make you feel more like a mom because you're doing things you remember your mom doing?
It really
now?
Does. Like, yeah. I was like, I got to give them their medicine. The story that we didn't finish telling was that you took Bryn to urgent care. You got home. I escaped for an hour to like run errands because I was like, I need to get away from these kids for like at least 1 hour of this weekend or I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
And then came back, and then you left for work, and I was like, Maven still has a fever, and she then told me that her ear hurt, and I was like, fuck, I gotta get these kids back to urgent care.
Back in the car.
I was like, I gotta deal with this now, otherwise the week starts and everything's going to hell. So I take them to urgent care. They're like, it's a 45-minute wait. And like, I don't think it was actually that long, but I was like, fuck. So we get in there.
Boy, I didn't even want to tell you that there was no one there when I went.
Well, there wasn't actually anyone in the waiting room. So I was like, I feel like they're just trying to scare me a little bit. It's like management of emotions. Anyway, get in there. Maven, doctor comes in with a face mask on. And I was like, yeah, it's bad out there. Oh, also,
the season.
Yeah. And then, oh, also while we're in the waiting room, there's like a door stopper at like doorknob height. And Bryn walks over to it and puts his mouth on it, basically just like makes out with this thing. I was like, what are you doing? I was so annoyed.
Okay. Well, by the way, we didn't say that he has impetigo.
He's coming back to the same location that just diagnosed him with impetigo
to wipe his impetigo
like 2 hours earlier to wipe his impetigo on the wall. I just was like, I can't handle this kid. I was getting so mad at them this week. So then we go in. Maven has 2 ear infections, and then it's like classic
2 ear infections,
both ears. And I'm like, that it's this. It's the same thing that happens every time where I'm like, why did I put, like, I feel so bad. Like, I made her be in pain for 2 or 3 days. No, anyway.
She wasn't. It happened when it happened.
Anyway, so then have to go back to CVS, get a second prescription. Now they're both on the same antibiotics, which I think is going to be a blessing in the end because they can't infect each other right now with anything.
Oh, they are. They're immune.
Yeah.
Well, weirdly, he does.
Oh, wait. So the story I was going to get to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was that I go to feed them and they're like not really waking up. Maven kind of woke up and they're like, I would like drip a little bit of it in their mouth to try to like gently wake them up as I was there. I was like kind of touching them, but they weren't waking up. And I drip a little bit in their mouth and then they would like purse their lips, and it was like just this the funniest thing of like it felt like they were newborn babies again because their faces were so ridiculous. And then Maven eventually kind of woke up and I explained what was happening and she drank it. Bryn did not wake up at all and just suckled like a newborn and
like a baby bird.
Like his lips were so funny and he was just like just like it was so crazy. I was like telling my friends afterwards, I was like, if you want to go feed your kids something in their sleep, I highly recommend it. Like it was just so funny to
watch. Wait. You gave him medicine last night?
Yeah.
You weren't supposed to.
Why not?
Because for some reason he gets 1 dose a day and she gets 2 doses a day.
Oh, well, no,
he's got too many antibiotics.
I think better stronger than weaker. It'll be fine.
I mean, I'm sure that not keeping up with it is worse. But yeah, well, that makes no sense. He has a smaller dose once a day and she has a bigger dose twice a day.
Yeah, she does have a bigger dose.
And he's got his eye cream that he has to do 3 times a day. And I'm debating, do I have to go to school in the middle of the day to like give him his second dose, or did I just do 2 at night?
At first, I was like, maybe we need to do that. But today, his eyes are already clearing up, and I'm kind of thinking we can just do 2 times a day.
I might go at 3 o'clock just tomorrow, like before he goes to after school, and just be like, can I just squirt some of this in his eyeball, please? Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, it might be nice for us to look like involved parents who are aware of their child's exploding face.
It might be good to show ourselves to his teacher who never sees us. Because
no one does.
Bryn comes from before care and then goes to after school.
That's also part of the craziness of this weekend is that it was like pouring rain like so hard and I had to bring Bryn to this birthday party.
How did that go?
And I was like trying, I was like, it's raining so hard, I'm just going to leave Maven in the car like right outside this place and try to run him in. But then of course, it's like a chaotic, like it was like a sports activity play center.
Yeah, and he wiped his impetigo all over the sports center.
Yeah, his undiagnosed impetigo. So we get in there and he's like, I'm looking around and it wasn't really until I walk in that I realized like, I don't know anyone. I was like just looking for someone who looked like they were greeting people. And I looked at this mom and I was like, are you Eden's mom? And she's like, yeah. And she was like staring at me blankly. And then I was like, And then I just, it was very awkward because I was like, I have to get, in the back of my mind, I was like, I have to get back out to the car because Maven's just sitting there and I've already been like looking around.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so I can leave him till 6? Like, you know, I was just like really like abrupt. And she's like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, I should have been
nicer. I'm a person.
No, I mean, I said like, I said I'm Bryn's mom, Beth, and like, this is Bryn. But I like was like, so
I'm Bryn's like, mom, Bryn. Can I come at 6?
I was like, so you got this? Goodbye. So, and I was like, sorry, my daughter's in the car. But when I came back to pick him up, I had a nicer conversation with her and I felt better about it. But it was, yeah. And the other thing that happened when we got there that added to the awkwardness is that the first thing she said to Bryn when I was like, this is Bryn, she was like, do you like sports? And he was like, no. And like, and he did that to us twice this week. Where he was like, we were at this new school that we're like interviewing at, and they were like, so do you play like, I don't know, baseball, whatever? He was like, no. What did he say? He was like,
we should talk about that in full in a minute.
Okay.
I want to continue the sickness story because today they were both couldn't go to school. So I was home and it was fine. Except that the internet was out. It was dead. It was out. I couldn't put on TV for them. But I also couldn't do work. There was like, I was home, and I thought I could, like, I have a lot of work to do.
You're I have a lot of screens to be looking at.
And I couldn't do a gosh darn thing. And so I finally go, I'm like, I assumed the internet just, you know, turns back on. And I went to finally look, you know, at the insane Fios box in the closet. That's like, you know, it looks like a massive like backup generator for a house. And I go, and the battery light is on, and I read all the things, what all the lights mean.
And we needed a new battery.
But it's looked like it was fine. And then a few hours in, it starts beeping very loud, and I go in, and then suddenly it says the battery light is out. And I'm like, I just replaced this battery. It's supposed to last 3 years. It lasted 2. This is BS. So I look it up and I check the things. I'm like, the light is off, which means no power or low power battery dead. So I take out this massive battery. I look up where you buy a battery. I throw the kids in the car and I go buy a $40 battery at the battery store. Then we go get your prescription, and then we buy a donut because I promised Bryn yesterday. We get home, I put in the giant battery, and I'm like, ah, great, I fixed it. And then I close the door and I look down outside of the closet where there's that massive plug to that unit,
mm-hmm.
and it's unplugged. One of our children ripped this thing apart and unplugged it.
That's very funny.
And I'm like, why the hell is there a $40 battery for this thing when it's just plugged in?
So now we have a spare battery.
No, I recycled the old $40 battery when I was there.
Whoops. Oh, well.
And then I looked it up. The whole thing is a backup unit. A $40 battery for a backup unit.
Okay. I actually...
It's a scam!
I actually had a very similar thing today, which is that I went to install something on my computer. This is not interesting, but I couldn't install it because a few months ago or a couple months ago, I was trying to change some settings or figure out how to put some controls on my computer so that I could control my social media use, and I just wanted to like be able to focus during the day.
Yeah.
And so I went into the users, and I read something wrong online and like did a wrong thing. And what I had done was I put parental controls onto my account, my user account on the computer, which is the only user account on the computer. So when you go to change the parental controls and then it asks you for an admin password, there's no other account that you could ever have a password for that exists anywhere. So you're just, you can't, like, if you give it the password for the one account, it's like, no, that account doesn't have parental controls.
So you locked yourself out.
So I had locked myself out of, like, doing software updates and certain things to the computer. And it was just like, I was like, and it was one of those things where, similar to you, where I was just like, I have to deal with this today or my life's just going to start to fall apart. And I happened to have, like, a spare hour where I had, like, done a lot of work. And I was like, okay, just figure this out today. And it was like, I chatted with Apple online for a while. There's, like, two different, like, people recommending the same solution that didn't work. And then they're like, we're going to call you back with a specialist or something. And then they call me back, like, an hour later. And they're... this woman tried to walk me through, like, the same things from earlier. And then she's like, I have to give you to my superior. And I was on the phone for, like, a full hour. And this guy...
the specialist superior.
They're like... they finally walked me through a solution where I was able to go into, like, recovery mode on the computer or something and, like, create another account, like, a root user. I don't exactly know what that means, but it's, like, it's a special kind of user.
The back door.
And then I had to log in as that user and give parental controls back. And it was, like, this... it was, like, kind of a fascinating thing where you're, like, you... I don't know. You have to design these systems that you're able to control things, and then these things, like, it was just interesting how many people at Apple didn't quite know the answer. And I was just like,
I found out. So I built our entire new system at Story Pirates, which is not a skill set I've had until this year, and I rebuilt the entire system original. And I was like, this is great. And then someone pointed out to me today that I accidentally, if people looked in the right place, gave every single person in the company access to payroll where they could see exactly how much everyone was being paid.
Yeah.
But fortunately, it was brand new, so there was only like 1 week of entries, and the nicest person on the planet discovered it and told me immediately.
And that's, I was like, funny.
I love you forever. Your moral fiber is strong.
Yeah, well, because you don't want them to know that you make $800,000 a year from Story Pirates, while people make about $25.
I want them to think I make that, and they'll know that I don't. Oh boy.
The fun thing about having, like, being in a small business is, I think you want to give off the appearance of being successful. Otherwise, no one will think you know what you're doing. But the reality is that people think you're making so much more money than you actually are, that they judge you as though you're the CEO of, like, a major corporation.
My favorite thing ever was early on, somebody was trying to criticize you for how much Reductress paid, and they were like, well, you wouldn't pay your graphics people, like your PR people, that little, and not understanding that Beth is all of those things. There are no graphics people. There are no PR people. It's two people in a room.
Yeah.
And it's like super annoying to hear that, but what a compliment that you've created this thing.
It's become a very frustrating compliment, I'll say, but yeah. It's fine.
We'll take it.
It's the cost of doing business.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Did you know that my wife wrote a book?
Did you?
Did you know?
Did you know?
Because we're going to start talking about it because it's coming up. And boy, is it applicable.
So guys, I'm sorry, but you have to hear me promote myself on my podcast. And my book is coming out February 4th. The book is called There's No Manual: Honest and Gory Wisdom About Having a Baby. You can find it on Amazon and maybe other places. I haven't seen all the links, but
I bet there's some weird places you'll never know about, Beth.
I bet there's some really weird fucking places
that you can just find that book.
I will say the book has a lot of dirty drawings inside of vaginas and people's insides.
Inside the book of vaginas, or inside of vaginas? Are there pictures inside the book of vaginas, or are there pictures inside the book of the inside of vaginas?
You're gonna have to buy it to find out, baby. No, it's a lot of useful information in terms of your body, I think, but also sort of, you know, what we had a really great endorsement by Rachel Bloom on the back of the book, and she calls it a fun hang.
I'm saying I'm reading it right now.
You're reading it right now.
I have never read it.
You told me that you did sneak into the Dropbox and look at it.
I looked at all the pictures.
Oh.
But I was like,
just those dirty pictures. You know what it shows.
I was like, is this the inside of the vagina or the outside? It's so hard to tell where it begins and ends.
I'll explain it to you later.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. We keep it fun. It's meant to be encouraging of moms and reminding new moms to prioritize themselves and take care of themselves throughout the process. And it's, we worked very hard to try to keep it in a non-judgmental tone in terms of what choices you decide to take on your own parenting journey, much like, you know, the tone of this podcast.
You know what? As someone who literally just started it and has fresh eyes on that tone, I would say that is very much what I love about it so far. Honest to goodness, you guys, I mean, this may be not a surprise to you that, like, this is the first I've read it. And that it has this incredible tone of, one, it has a point of view. So it's not wishy-washy and it's like, you know, whatever you want. It's the saying, hey, here's all these things. There's what you should think about, but we're not judging you for, like, there's no one way for people.
We're trying to strike the balance of being like, you have choices and your opinion matters. And also, here's some facts and statistics that might inform you. Like, we don't want to be completely without groundedness or information. Like, that's where I think the part of why Jackie and I wrote this book is, like, we sort of clung to each other as new moms, as I think a lot of new moms do to their other friends. You kind of, like, you seek each other out because you're like, what's happening? Because no one fully tells you.
What is going on?
Like, so we wanted to give some sort of, like, perspective and encouragement here in this world where, like, women are being given sort of a scary and overwhelming amount of clinical information that is not, like, mm-hmm. it's often, like, supercharged in a way that is not in proportion to the actual level of danger that is happening for a mom and her baby. And it's also, like,
yeah,
you know, people in this world do a lot of, like, there's a lot of bad things that could happen to you. You could get hit by a car at any moment, but it doesn't mean that when you're reading a book about walking down the street, like, every page should, like, be telling you about all the ways you get hit by a car. Like, there's, like, I think that when you're entering parenthood, a lot of the information is just very clinical, and it's like, you could have this disease, or your baby could get hurt. You know,
it really does make them seem all equally likely.
Yeah, and I think, so we wanted to sort of not, you know, tell you to ignore your health or those things, but sort of put in perspective and remind you to take care of yourself and your own emotions.
It does a great job of that.
Like, yeah.
Another thing that really struck me about it is there's all these different segments, you know, it says when in the beginning, there's like, here's your symptoms. And every other time I've read, you know, here's what you may experience as a new mother in the first few weeks of pregnancy. That, like, clinical list, it's like the same as, like, reading sex ed, where you're like, the penis becomes hard and is placed in the vagina. But you guys, I have never read a thing that made me feel pregnant.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it feels to be pregnant, but the way you paint the picture.
When I was pregnant, I was really, like, trying to find something that, like, especially, like, I really wanted, like, a movie or TV show that, like, if you were, I don't know, if you're having this big life-changing thing, you want to sort of, like, feel excited and feel the joy of that. And there wasn't anything out there that sort of, like, encompassed the experience of being pregnant on a visceral level. Like, I would have all these moments when I was pregnant where, like, I'd be in my third trimester and, like, look down at my nipples and be like, there's stuff starting to ooze out of my nipples. And, like, it's not like I mean, it's like a completely normal thing that like I had never seen portrayed in any medium whatsoever. Yeah. And like was sort of barely referenced in the clinical books. Like it was just like, you know,
what is that stuff called? It's like not before, it's like the pre-milk.
Colostrum.
Yeah. You showed it to me. I was like, yeah.
Well, and like, you don't like
what?
A lot of people, like you don't really realize your breast milk isn't going to come out of like one hole out of your nipple.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing that never occurred to me.
Right. And it's just all of these things that you think we would know about because this is happening all around us all the time. And literally all of us are like a result of this process of a person growing inside of a woman. But we just refuse to talk about any of it.
Boy, like that, I forgot. How much that blew my mind that you like squeezed it and it beaded, this liquid beaded in a bunch of different places.
The
and I was
beauty,
like, what?
The beauty of motherhood. And well, what I think makes me get really like sensitive about all of this stuff too is that I see like people are so revolted by you talking about this. Like if you're outside of like parent circles, like mm-hmm. people are like, ugh, like they're like they think you're insane. And
why
like,
aren't you ashamed?
And I see like women policing other women in this weird way where I'm like, it would never in any circle I know be acceptable of me to criticize someone for not having kids. Or, mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing. But then at the same time, I'll see people be like, don't post a picture of your newborn baby on social media. That's disgusting. And I'm like, the way that you entered the world and literally all of us is disgusting and should never be seen by human eyes. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, like it's just people are very like quickly put off by anything related to women.
Scared. Well, it's in the larger sense, it's just like, I've not seen that before, so it must not be something I'm supposed to see. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And I think that's like what people fail to realize on a general basis is that like their racism or sexism is happening on a very subconscious level. So like when people are complaining about certain things, it's like no one is accusing you of like saying the N-word or like grabbing a woman on her tit. Like it's like they're asking you to think about your own subconscious decisions and biases. Like that's
The most common stuff is the stuff you've literally never thought about before.
Yeah,
because I mean, because you've never had a reason to, or just because that's not how we talk about things. That's not what's presented in media.
Yeah,
like you said.
Anyway, if you want a lot of these juicy feminist analysis of the female experience, particularly through housing a baby in your body, please pre-order There's No Manual and buy it for your pregnant friends.
It comes out February 4th?
It really is the book that Jackie and I wish we had had mm-hmm. when we were pregnant. So I hope you have someone you can buy it for.
Just to come back to the same point, because this is indicative of how far into the book I am. But you guys did such a great job of I don't know, I've said before, painting a picture, but something you said, just like how you'll feel, you know, describing feelings in clinical terms is the worst way to describe a feeling. And so it takes writers and it takes comedians to give us the scenario and the way to describe a way a person is reacting to a thing to make it visceral for me to understand those feelings. So like when I was, again, reading like those symptoms things, I was like, oh, I'm feeling it because you're making me empathize and you're making me see a person instead of a textbook of anatomy, which I don't empathize with.
Yeah. And, you know, just to loop it back, as I like to do, to my fave girl, Elizabeth Warren,
I was looking at my watch. I was like, when are we going to get back to that?
I really, what I love about her as a leader is that I think she gives you a really visceral human story to some really statistically prevalent issues and statistically sound solutions on amending them, and vote for women.
Well, speaking of Elizabeth Warren and being on tour to promote things, are you going to be doing any events for the book?
I'm
actually literally asking.
I currently have one event on the books, and it's on our book release day, February 4th. I'll be in Richmond at a lesbian bar. It's called Babes. It might just be called Babes. It might be called Babes something. And I will try to post that to our social media.
Okay. Now, I know that lesbians can have babies and do have babies.
Yeah, but please go ahead and say something.
But you recognize the wonderful irony of having a pregnancy.
There's no irony there. There's only irony there if you are biased towards lesbians.
Okay. Yeah. Boy. That's great. I wish I could go, but I'm going to be here watching our children.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring them. Maybe I'll surprise you.
Please don't. Let me just be cool for one night and hang out at a lesbian bar without my children.
You can't hide the fact that you have babies, especially when you're at a launch party for the book where you're an expert on having babies.
But it's like everyone's like, look at this sexy, vibrant woman, and she also has babies. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you're crushing
That's
it.
What they're thinking. That's what they're all thinking.
Anyone who shows up to that book release party and judges you for being a mom has a story I'm interested in hearing.
Tell your Richmond friends, gay or straight, all are welcome.
It sounded, I process that as your rich man friends.
Tell your rich man friends. Do tell your rich man friends to buy this book.
Tell all your friends.
Yeah.
Your rich man friends, your poor women enemies.
Tell your rich man friends, this is a sexy book for parents.
It's got diagrams of the inside and middle and outside of vaginas.
All of it.
Maven picked tonight for her book. So we always, we do three books. Bryn picks one, Maven picks one, I pick one. And Maven picked the kids' sex ed book, basically.
The one that was in the living room and not in their bedroom?
No, a different one.
Oh, okay.
It was like the one that really gets into everything. Anatomy.
Really gets...
So I was like, this is really long, Maven. We're going to have to do one chapter. And so we basically just did anatomy.
I do think that's like, unfortunately, feels like it's becoming next on my to-do list is to like write a better kids sex book.
Yeah.
Because I don't enjoy reading the language in those books.
I'm good at it.
Yeah, I mean it's there, just
Maven
like,
is giggles. Bryn is like actually interested.
It's because, not,
but Maven, yeah. Maven's just like giggles all over.
It's not the clinical stuff that bothers me. It's just the way their way with words. I don't enjoy it in some of those. Anyway,
I mean, honestly, write that book. You would write an incredible version.
It's only
of that
because
book.
The books are from like 30 years ago, and it's just like,
yeah, and who
it's,
really?
It's like stop dancing around this. Like just.
It's like, yeah, they've got animal narrators. I guess that's fine. It's pretty good. It's better than the ones I remember being grown up.
There's
with.
Probably some other ones out there that we don't have. I don't know.
Well, Maven really was giggling at butts. They now know what an anus is. Bryn quietly just went, anus.
Our kids love butts.
And they also found out that buttocks is the full name of butts.
That's part of what bothers me about these 70s sex books where I'm like,
let's just pretend buttocks never existed.
I don't need to give my kids buttocks. Like, that's not like, that's not coming up for them. That's not something I need to get ahead of. Let's leave it. Let's leave it.
Let's just all agree to let go of buttocks. Literally, metaphorically.
That's something they find out at age 16 in some literature class. And
did you
then,
guys know that they're actually called buttocks?
Yeah.
Huh.
They're like reading it in some Charles Dickens novel, and then they're like, they lose their minds for like half of class.
Nicholas Nickleby, release those buttocks at once.
Yeah.
Is that Charles Dickens? Nicholas Nickleby?
It sounds like it, but it might not be. It's the kind of name that Charles Dickens would use.
It's going to be like when I sang the wrong song for Five for Fighting. No, I would actually want to know. The song I did sing was that, like, I'm no different than them, you're Superman.
I think it was like, I'm an bird, I'm only a plane.
Yeah, that's the correct one. Yeah. It's more than a bird, more than a plane. I want, okay, so five.
It's not easy.
50 So as we talked about that episode, five for fighting is a reference to a hockey 5-minute penalty for fighting, which
we don't need to get back into all of this.
No, just we don't have to, but I'm already there. So which obviously is the furthest thing from the tone of the band Five for Fighting, which is all.
Yeah, we already talked about this.
But my question is, I want people to write in.
No, stop it.
Shut up. And I want to hear what other bands you think have the most ill-fitting names given their style of music. It's a fun question.
They
Beth.
Could also email us with a parenting question.
No, nah, dude.
Or comment.
Nah, dude, I want to know.
Or an article they liked about parenting.
Guys, you can just email me my
or
secret email address.
Review of my
that
book
Beth doesn't
that says
see.
It's a sexy book for parents.
We know spot at
Please, as soon as you pre-order, go to Amazon and rate it and say,
in the
this
reviews,
is a sexy book for parents.
In the reviews, say, I have a band with an ill-fitting name. 5 stars.
This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we present each other with parenting hypotheticals.
Here we go. So this comes to us from Anna, who's written in before. Her subject line is, love you guys! 2 exclamation points. Hi, We Knows Pod. I'm a frequent listener of the pod, second-time writer, and a huge fan of your, all caps, gorgeous family.
Oh.
Parentheses, all caps, LOL! Exclamation point. Why is that funny, Anna, that we're gorgeous? Are you not serious? I think we're gorgeous. Just kidding. I'm 25 years old with no kids just yet, but maybe in the future. I'm still deciding if that's the route I want to take, but if I do get knocked up, Beth's book will be the first thing I order. Laughing till I cry emoji face. Again, that feels like you're undercutting the previous sentence. Just kidding. You're great. So I came across this hypothetical online and instantly thought I'd had to write in and share it with you. I just realized before I read this hypothetical that there's nothing parenting related in it. So I'm on the fly going to change it to make it a little more applicable. Well, I'm going to read it and then I'm going to change it. You find a book and begin to read only to discover that it's your life. You get to the point that you are at now. Do you turn the page knowing that you will not be able to change the events to come? Excited to hear your answer and keep being awesome, Anna. Heart emoji.
Wow. Okay, I don't want your tweak. Just let her ask the question. I think it would be impossible for me not to read it. I would start reading some of it and then see how it affected the experience.
You'd read like a day's worth?
Yeah, I'd be like, maybe that was a bad idea. But I'm not going to read a little bit.
Boy, I've actually been thinking about this a lot since I read this.
We are currently at a place in our lives where I just want more than anything to know when we will be able to move into our new home.
But the thing is, I'm assuming in this scenario is that you can't change what happens. So
no,
if something bad,
no,
you just
the,
have to
no,
dread it.
No, but the thing with our home is that I know that if our renovation is not going to be done by a certain time and school is starting and I want to get my kids in school, I'm going to have to find a sublet or an Airbnb. So if I knew that in advance,
ooh, okay.
I would plan accordingly and not be stressed out the whole time about what might happen.
Well, here's how I read it. I read it as it's not a like predictor. It is this will happen this way. So you can't, knowing what's going to happen doesn't give you any room
to... So I still have to experience it?
You still have to experience all of it.
It still makes me feel like maybe I would let it wash over me as it was happening. Like if I knew that that was what was going to happen, like...
But boy, what a gamble. What if it like sucks? That's so depressing to know. I guess, you know, I just read ahead until there was one really exciting thing to look forward to, and then not read ahead. So I just have one thing to look forward to.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like if I knew that, I would know to try to be in the moment and enjoy that moment more versus like, I feel like it's so hard. Like our careers are so unpredictable. And the thing, like if you talked to me like 3 years ago when I was still writing this book and like about the launch, I would be like, I can't wait to the launch of that book. I'm so tired of writing. I just want the writing to be done. But now that the book's about to come out, I'm like, ugh, I can't believe I have to do all this book promotion. I hate the promotion part of the book. I wish I was just done. Like, yeah. So I think if I was like, if I had a sense of like what the difficulties were going to be, I would be like, okay, well, that was the moment I should have just relaxed and enjoyed the launch party. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not yeah. that I should be doing that anyway, but...
I understand that, but I think I would not do it. I live in the moment, for better or worse.
Do you?
Well, for better or worse.
I don't...
Sometimes.
I think that's giving yourself a lot of credit.
No, I mean, in a very bad way, too. Not looking far enough ahead. I mean, I think me at my best.
But you're not like lacking anxiety. You're not like present in the moment.
No. I don't mean to suggest that. But I think me at my best, I face difficult things well, with a sense of like, okay, great. What do we have to do? Let's get it done. Me at my worst. Oh, God. I want to be the person that is here now, that exists now, and I'm open and excited about not knowing exactly
the problem,
where I'm
going. In not either way, if I read the book or don't read the book, I'm not going to be fully present, and that's the problem.
I think maybe this might be better for you than it would be for me.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I feel like... it's like that thing of like when we found out we were pregnant both times and it was an accident both times.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was sort of scary, not in the moment of like not knowing if we were going to like move forward with it.
Yeah.
But once you're sort of like, okay, this is happening to us, like that is when it sort of becomes easier. Like that's where... Sometimes you just want someone who would like tell you what to do and like what's going to happen. So you just be like, okay, this is going to suck, but like, I know I have no other option but to just deal with it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's funny because when we weren't expecting it either time. So when it happened so fast. And that's, for me, that was ultimately great just to be like, oh, fuck, what? Okay, great. We're in it now.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, is this the right thing? Is it the right time? Because if you're playing that game, who knows when it would have happened? You know, and it's as an improviser, that improviser philosophy of like, I'm at my best when I'm confidently don't know exactly where I'm going. Here's my twist on the question. What if you pick up the book and you realize that it's Maven's life? And that you could read ahead for her life, which also would imply that you probably find the end of your life in there because you're a part of her story.
Yeah, I would want to do that because I think reading it would tell me where to place the amulet that she discovers after my death.
I knew you're holding back on me with that amulet. I gave you crystals for Christmas. I need to be in on the club
it
now.
So that she can find it when the time is right. No one else can have the amulet.
You're just quoting the plot of Double Double Toil and Trouble, Mary Kay and Ashley.
I don't think that's the plot of that.
Olsen twins. We watched it the other day. There is an amulet.
Here's what I have to say about that day is like, we had I've been saying this month that we're having like crazy synchronicity, but I had like truly we had the weirdest synchronicity that day, which is that we're going to bring our kids to look at this new school, which is right by BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music, which is like a movie theater and an actual theater. Like, and so we're walking by and I look up and this guy's walking out of BAM and I was like, that guy looks like Michael Cera. Oh, that's Michael Cera. And I was just like, that's weird. Like, just randomly this one morning we're in Brooklyn, we see this guy. So we're walking by and then I forget about it. We go to my sister's apartment to bring her the kids. And she like watched them for an hour while we're doing other stuff. And she's watching an Olsen Twins movie with our kids, which is so completely random. But
Double Double Toil and Trouble.
Yeah, which she found on Netflix. And they're watching it. And she was like, yeah, it's so weird. This movie stars at one point a young Michael Cera.
And we were like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
I was like, I can't believe you would bring him up of all people at all times. Like, it's
and
just,
then also, I fell over a chair and hit my head and it went, bam.
And that's why I was like, I know where to put the amulet. thank you, Michael.
Can I just say that I had the best empanada of my entire life? If you're ever near BAM or Atlantic Terminal in Brooklyn, find Cesar's Empanadas food truck.
Okay. That's not the restaurant across the street.
No, it's a food truck right on that corner of Hanson Place and near the Apple Store. Somebody said it to me and I walked by. I'm like, oh, I'll get one. And I ate it. And I literally was walking down the sidewalk and I took a bite of this empanada and I had to stop and like put my phone in my pocket. And I was like, I can't be walking while I eat this. And I just looked at this food as I ate it and was just like, oh my God, I'm angry that this is going to end. And it was so fleeting. I'm like, I must have this again.
Turn back time. I need the book of my life.
I need to flip ahead and see.
I need to go reread that moment.
And so then he remembered that somebody he can't remember whom.
It's all
loved Cesar's empanadas.
It's all a simulation. You know what I mean?
Boy. See, that if I started reading the book and realized it was about me, I could not stop reading. You'd because be like, I love myself.
The never-ending story.
But if somebody said, do you want to read a book of your whole life? I'd be like, I know. That's like me and food.
I know.
If you put it in front of me, I'm like, how come, how come?
I know. Do not give me that book.
No, thank you.
I don't think so.
Pa-bing. You know what I would do?
You better keep that book away from me and those empanadas.
unless there's Cesar's. On my deathbed, I would want to read the full book of Brendan Maven's life.
On your deathbed?
Yeah.
Well, you're in luck because on your life review, after you die, you will look back at your life and see all of that.
I don't want to look back. I want to look forward.
Well, you'll understand your life more in the context and then probably get some understanding of what you were sent here to set your kids up for. So
great. And then I'd be like, oh, I fucked up there. Oh, I'm dead.
No, because then you'll be dead and you'll probably be able to be like a guide to your kids.
You know what you, when you said the review of your life, I pictured
the life review.
Life review. I pictured suddenly my life was like up on Amazon and then people were just writing reviews.
They were like, what need salt.
pretty good. Pretty funny. Needed salt.
That is kind of my review of you.
I'm not salty enough. Ooh, Beth, you know what? I really, that you said it as a joke, but I think you wish that I was saltier. I'm a little too sweet for your taste.
Too sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, this has been another week of We Know's Parenting. Buy, pre-order the book, There's No Manual, right now.
Right now.
Amazon or literally wherever you find books.
And, you know, if you're a nice person and you're in a bookstore and you want to ask them if they're stocking the book, that's cool too, because that encourages people to order copies.
Don't ask them if they're stocking it. You should say, like, you're stocking this book, right?
It's a sexy book for parents. Are you not stocking it? Or do you want people to come into your store ever
you're like,
again?
This book slaps.
This book slaps. This book slaps.
It's like, I scream, you scream. We all scream for kids? Birthing books?
Anyway.
If you want to send us an email, ask us a question, send us a would you know scenario, give us some advice. You can email us at wenosepod@gmail.com or
leave us a voicemail 347-384-7396.
Find us on the social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at wenosepod.
Rate, review, subscribe.
And we'll see you next time.
Ta-da!
Ha-cha-cha!